Welcome to the Family Bible Study. This will be Family Radio's Jeremiah Study, number 184.
We're continuing in Jeremiah chapter 8. It is a very sad chapter, and yet it is the Word of God. It is a message that God has placed there, a message that we have to know about, a message that we are to listen to, because it is God's Word. It is not my word or anybody else's word. It is God's Word, and therefore it is very, very important. We're down in Jeremiah chapter 8, and we have just looked at verse 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now verse 12 makes the indictment even more severe. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Now, God here is speaking about those who come with false teachings, that is, with a gospel that is pleasing to them rather than what is faithful to the Word of God, as abomination. Abomination. And you know, when we read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, we know that ultimately it means that now Satan is ruling there. But how does he rule? How does he rule? Can you go into any congregation and see Satan up there behind the pulpit with his horns and with his or even as a lamb in sheep's clothing? You don't even see him that. You don't, or a wolf in sheep's clothing. You don't see Satan, but what do you see? What does 2 Corinthians 11 follow up with? Satan comes as an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. And there is where they are ruling, and where Satan is ruling through these. And are they ashamed if they are, if it's pointed out to them, look, you can't have the kind of gospel you are preaching. It is not faithful to the Word of God. Is there any shame on their part? No. What do you mean? What do you mean we're preaching a wrong gospel? Where did you come from? What have you been drinking? Maybe you had too much something or another. We are bringing the truth. Why, we Baptists, we Methodists, we Presbyterians, we Lutherans, we Pentecostals, whatever they call themselves, we have the truth. We are the denomination that has the reputation of being more orthodox than any other, and so on. And so please, 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 don't come with those insinuations. Don't talk to us about the Word of God in that way at all. And here it is. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. You see, the problem is they're stone cold blind. They're just absolutely blind. They're just as blind as the evolutionist, who absolutely cannot tolerate the idea that there is a God who created the world. He is blind, and in his blindness, he will corrupt himself with all kinds of nonsensical ideas about long periods of time and creatures adapting themselves and so on. And it's all done very seriously, very, very, like we know everything, and we have all truth resides with us, and they haven't the slightest idea that they're as far wrong as they ever could be wrong. And it's no different in the churches, where they are bringing these kind of doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. There is a total blindness. And God explains that, of course. He gives them eyes that they will not see, ears that they cannot hear. He gives them a strong delusion as to make them believe what is false. And so it goes on. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now, visitation has to do with judgment. In the time when God comes in judgment. And of course, we're living in that awesome time when God has already come in judgment. We've talked about this before at various times, but Christ has come and removed the candlestick, as he warned in Revelation 2. If you do not repent, I will, or go return to your first love, I will come quickly and remove the candlestick. And the fact that the candlesticks have been removed from all of the local congregations means that Christ has come. Oh yes, he came. Remember, we looked at John chapter 14. Let's review this again. This is a very, very important point. A very important point. We read in John 14 there that Jesus said in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And that means that he is a child of God, because he's been given a brand new resurrected soul in which he has an ongoing earnest desire to do the will of God. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What is this talking about? Is that talking about him coming on the last day? No. As we live out our life, we are, as a child of God, we are indwelt by God. God abides in us. Now, we don't understand this. We can't draw a picture of this. But this is the faithful declaration of the Word of God. Christ has come as the Savior in the lives of every true believer throughout the church age, right down to the very present time. Any true believer is indwelt by God, who has come as the Savior. Now remember, when Jesus came the first time, he says, I didn't come as the judge, I came as the Savior. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But now, once we get to Jeremiah chapter, all these early chapters of Jeremiah, when we get to Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, and like chapters, or Revelation 11, where it talks about the death of the two witnesses, it means we've come to that time where now God has also come as the judge, as the judge. Again, it's something within the peoples of the world. It is not something that we can see with our naked eye. Can you see God indwelling in the life of any human being when they have become saved? No, we can't see that. We know it's true because God has said so. I will dwell within you. All right, can we see Christ has come as the judge? And of course we can't see that. But that doesn't mean that if he can't come, if he's come as a Savior, he can't come as a judge. He has come as the judge. And as the judge, he's here carrying out the laws. Remember, we learned that the word judgment is law, law, and there are certain laws that have to be carried out as God prepares first the local congregations as well, and then also the whole world for the final judgment. So Christ has come as the judge. This is, let me go back to Jeremiah chapter 8. This is the time of their visitation. It's not something that's still going to come. It is already occurring. The fact that God has come as the judge, and they will be cast down. And remember, when we looked at the parable of the wheat and the tares, we saw that those who are not elect of God, those who remain in the congregations, who and there may still be some who are elect of God who eventually will come out, but those who are not elect of God, and that's a great many, a vast proportion, it appears, of those remaining in the congregations, will come under that judgment. And God, as he comes as the judge, prepares them for the burning, for the finality. They're being bound, they're being given a strong delusion, they're being locked in tighter and tighter to where they are. And he says, it goes on in verse 13, there's a word that is missing here. In verse 13, the first word should be gathering, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. Gathering, I will surely consume them. Now actually he is gathering the tares within the congregation for the final burning. He is gathering the unsaved who are not elect out in the world, preparing them for destruction also. We see this as we see sin multiplying in the world. Again and again, I have emphasized that what an astounding fact as we see this homosexual marriage business going on, which is just the tip of the iceberg. It indicates the wickedness of man's heart, because behind that there's all kinds of sexual perversion, there's all kinds of hatred, and there's all kinds of rebellion against God. The Bible today is probably disowned more than at any time in history. It's that is in the history of the whole church age. People don't want to listen to the Bible, except that God also, and that's not taught here, this, God doesn't get into that in this verse, but we still have to, we can say this based on other passages. We do know that God has also come as the Savior again. There was silence in heaven for a half hour, remember? Christ came as the Savior, and I will indwell within you. And that was true throughout the church age. And then right at the end of the church age, there was, according to Revelation 8, verse 1, there was silence in heaven for a half hour. God was not saving. He had no one assigned at that moment in an official way. And then began the latter rain. And Christ again has come as the Savior. He's here now as the judge. He's also here as the Savior, as he is saving a great multitude which no man can number. And then we get down to verse 13. Gathering, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. That sums it up. You see, the figs, the fig tree, what does that normally refer to? Remember the fig tree in Mark 11 that was cursed? That's the nation of Israel. There are those today who say, ah, but God still has a plan for national Israel. Something wonderful is still going to happen. They're misreading the Bible altogether. God says there's no figs on the fig tree. It's going to remain barren right till the end. Yeah, true, there's the remnant chosen by grace, a trickle of believers coming out of national Israel. But as a nation, no. God never will use them again to represent the kingdom of God once he got past the time of the cross. But there's also no grapes on the vineyard. And what happened? Remember, the vineyard used to be the nation of Israel, and they brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ, and then God changed the ownership or the custodianship of that vineyard. I gave it over to the local congregations throughout the church age. And then remember, we went through Isaiah chapter 5, and we saw that because of their sin, God destroyed that vineyard. And that is what we are seeing today as we see God's judgment on the local congregations. And so God is reiterating what he has taught all through the scriptures, as we have learned from the Bible, the fact that the nation of Israel is finished as being a tool in the hand of God to evangelize the world. The church age is finished. The fig tree is without figs. The vines are without grapes. God is finished. In fact, he says, and that which I have given them shall pass away from them. Now, this is a principle that is reiterated in other places. For example, we look at Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, we read in verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And this is a principle that we say, that's how can we understand that? And yet when we look objectively at what is happening in the local congregations, we see what has happened. There was a time in the Reformation, for example, when there was a zeal for the Word of God, an enormous zeal. people were ready to lay down their lives for the Word of God, and they had many of the doctrines quite accurate. And they, right up until our generation, they still believed that you couldn't divorce for any reason, and they did not believe in birth control and so on. And now those very congregations have changed all that. They believe you can divorce for fornication and a whole lot of other reasons. You can practice birth control. Salvation is finally what you do, working together with what God has done. And it's very, very very plain in the way they teach it, more so than during the Reformation. And what they have had is being taken away. What they had is taken away. They are more, they're farther away from the Word of God and the obedience to the Word of God than they ever have been in the past. Now, by God's mercy, there is that other side of the coin. I indicated a little earlier that Christ has come as the Savior again. The half hour of silence did come to an end in the latter part of what we call the Great Tribulation. And on the other side, where Christ is bringing the gospel, we are trying to get closer and closer to truth. We know a whole lot of things today that throughout the church age they did not know. We are much more aware of what the gospel's program is and what the nature of salvation is and a whole lot of other things in the Bible that had not been known before. And that's the strange anomaly that is fully in accord with God's whole salvation plan. That as this world is exploding with population, as it is today, at that time, there are still those who are out in the world bringing the truth, more faithfully the truth than ever before in history, while those, just as national Israel, got so bad that when Christ came, they could not even recognize him as the Messiah, which we have to say is very mysterious, because Christ had everything to do with all the Old Testament principles and laws and teachings and so on, and they just absolutely rejected him. Now the church age is finished, and they will have nothing to do with all the truth that is coming forth from the Bible. They're walking in the same shoes as what national Israel was walking in a couple of thousand years ago. All right, well, next time we're going to go on, and we're going to look at verses 14 and 15, and they're strange verses. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent. What in the world is God talking about there? And we will take a good look at those words and see if we find out some biblical sense out of them.